Today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel. So, yesterday, we came up with this new idea, which is a halakha we never thought of before. The tumah needs to have a place. And if it doesn't have a place, and somebody just threw a bunch of keys, and they were tummy, throws them over the Tahara, Kikarot. So in that case, it doesn't matter, even if it's an Rishus HaYochid, since the Tumah doesn't have a place, we also consider it to be a Suffolk Tumah Lakula. It's as if it was a Suffolk Tumah Rishut HaRabim, and it wouldn't even matter if it Yesh Badat Yishael, Ein Badat Yishael. That's what we learned yesterday. Rabbi Yehuda made a distinction. He said that in the event that the Tumah was set, so you've got your keys, let's say, that are sitting on the ground and they're tamei, and then somebody went and throws, someone who has das, a human, went and threw the kikarot or the kikar over these keys, in that case, it would be different because the tumah has itself a makom. So from there, we go on to discuss other inyanim of moving tumah and where it would be considered to have a place and where not. So let's say you've got a rat that's carrying a sheretz in its mouth. The sheretz is dead. So a sheretz b'fi chulda, or a dog has got a piece of dead meat, nevela. I mean, obviously it doesn't matter, sheretz and nevela. We're just talking about normal. Dogs don't usually pick up sheretzim, and rats don't usually pick up nevela. It's all right. So now they're walking along, and they're walking between people that are tahar, or people that are tar walk between them. It doesn't really matter. And these people obviously have dat lishael. And you would think that if it's in a reshut hayachid, it should be tamek. Not true. The suffix is always tar. Why? Bipnei she'en l'tumah makom. There is no place where they have to be for that we can define this is the place of the tumah. And having no place is considered to be by definition tahar. Now, we're going to see that there's a major machlokas about why this is true. So until now, we've just been assuming that the concept of the Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim is a reference to a particular place. If you don't have a particular place because you're moving, so then it's not included. Okay, perhaps we're going to see very soon that there is a completely different approach to this. Now, let's say that this rat or this dog had dropped whatever it is they're eating. They had dropped it on the ground, and now they're poking at it, you know, holding it and nibbling at it and so on. So in that case, and then somebody says, gee, I don't know. I mean, I saw that animal poking at that thing. I don't know if I touched it or not. So then since Yesh bo dat lishael, if it's a mokum that is a rishus hayachid, then sveiko tamei. Like any other. Why? Because even though the animal is poking, pushing, moving, but he's moving something that has a place. It's on the ground. And that ground is a place that is considered to be in the Rishus HaYochid. So this is a typical suffix tumah Rishus HaYochid in a case where Yesh bo dat lishael, and therefore we go lechumra. So far we've got these three elements. We've got Yesh bodat lishael or ein bodat lishael. And we've got the question of whether it's a Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid. And then we have another consideration, which is it properly munach in a Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim? Mishnah Perek, Revi, Mishnah Dalet. How about, now here's where we get to the machlokas. How about where you've got a bird that is carrying around a kezayit min hamet, a human mate. Now, the din of kezayit min hamet is that it's metame ba'ohel. So, if it's metame ba'ohel, then we've got a whole different problem. Because if that bird flew over you, then it will be metame you from top down, which is what the din is, that it creates, and ohel doesn't only mean you're both under the same roof, it means if the tumah itself is ma'il over you, as we had back in our learning in Oyalois, it's going to be metameyu. So this is a flying tumah bomb I mean, this is like wherever it goes, this is worse than a drone, you know? Anybody who's under the drone, every coin, here's the drone. Oh, my gosh, what's he going to do? Right? He's got to run into a house. Now, it's flying. So if it's flying, it should be similar to the case that we had of the keys that were flying, where somebody threw the keys, right? So we said, since it doesn't have a makom, because it's flying, so it's not a problem. So it would be a suffik tuma lakua. Exactly. But that's not the din. In the event that there was a human that was standing somewhere under where this bird flew, and there was next to him, he's got a briefcase, you know. Well, if it's the suffik on the adam, on the kelim, in Rishut HaYochid, the adam is tame, because the adam has dat lishael. And we're going to try to figure out in a minute why we don't say it doesn't have a place. But the briefcase, you can't ask it whether it became tame, and therefore, unless the adam himself who was tame touched it, of course, but if it was a suffik kelim, even though they're both in exactly the same place, there it would be tahar, because it's ein bo dat lishael. Now, here's where we come to the fascinating question of why this is inherently different than the case of the zrikat hamaftechot that we had before. So the Rosh understands this entire sugya to be a function of a concept called sofek tuma, that is tsofa, and that means it's floating. Now, that actually refers to a number of Gemaras that talk about such a case. We have a sheretz, and the sheretz, the dead sheretz, is tzofa pnei amayim. And the interesting thing over there is that the Torah specifies two completely different dinim in that case. Because on the one hand, when the Torah talks about what we refer to as tameh by sheretz, it says wherever that sheretz is, you know, if it doesn't make any kind of definitions. And then on the other hand, it talks about specifically where it is a sheretz that is al ha'aretz, ha'sheretz al ha'aretz. So why the two things? So what the Gemara learns from over there is that if it's a suffix and it's not al ha'aretz, and it's being tsafa, so then the suffix is always tahar. So it's a new halacha. Same way we have a din that we learn from Sota about suffix tumor shesayachit, suffix tumor shesarabim. We have this new concept of floating tumor. And the floating tumor, the mocker of it, is the dinim of sheretz. Now it happens to be a big machlokas, sub machlokas, in that sugya, bechlal and nazir. Is this a din in any tumas maga, or is it a din specifically in sheretz? But what that would mean is, even if we hold it's a din in Tumas Maga, which could be the case of the Zrikas HaMaftechot, where over there you're going to be metame something if you came into contact with it. The Rosh understands that that was part of the same din of Tumat Tsofa. But once you're talking about a Kezias Min Amet, there you're not talking about a Tuma that's only the Maga. And therefore, it's not part of this set of Tumas Tsofa. So if you had an equivalent case, let's say, by Azov, you know, or Anida, where you might have Tuma that could be not through Maga, so you could have Tumas Heset or whatever, then there also would be no din of this concept of Tuma Tsofa. This is how the Rosh understands the Sugya, it's how the Meiri defines the Mishnah, Liba the Rosh, and so on. But what's remarkable is that the idea, according to the Pirish of the Rav, of Rav Avadya, so, Rav Avadya Bar Tanur, of course, not to be confused with the recent literature of Avadya. So, the way that he puts it is that the reason that we say in this case that it doesn't matter that it's flying through the air with the greatest of ease, it's because of the fact that Tumas Ohel, the way he puts it, is Bedavka Choshev to create its own place. Because isn't that the point of an Ohel? This is where you are. This is where the Tuma is. That's the whole way that it works. I mean, you can't really conceive of a Tumas Ohel unless we're saying you are in that Ohel, right? So therefore, it doesn't apply to Tumas Ohel. But what that means is that the way that he's understanding, even though he doesn't say it Farish, but it means the way that he's understanding the previous Mishnayos that talk about the flying keys, it's because not of Tumat Sofa, but it's really because of the question of whether something has to be in the Mokum of the Rosh Hashanah or the Rosh Hashanah, and it isn't. Because otherwise, he could simply bring the obvious point that this whole Chiddush of Ashuretz al Ha'oretz is obviously only a din that is Nogea Tuma Tzofa by Sheretz, or at least by Maga, other Tumas Maga. Okay, so it seems to me that this is a general question about how to understand those first Mishnayos. Unfortunately, there's very little information about certain Yesodos in Tyrus. Because, again, unfortunately, we lost the Yerushalmi on Tyrus. We don't have a lot of that, a lot of the Mekoros that we could have. And we're left a little bit to, not literally our own devices, but to hints among the Rishonim as to how it is that they're learning the Sugya. So I would like to suggest that that could be a serious difference between the Rosh's Pshat and the way the Rav is learning it. I don't know what his marker is, but, I mean, since we do know that there's Machlokas Rishonim about whether Tumat Sofa is limited to Sheretz Bechlal, and not in general to Tumas Maga, so, I mean, that would explain a lot. Continues, so that's Mishnah, did I say? No, I didn't finish Mishnah at all, sorry. Now, Sofek Adam, we said, is Tomei, Sofek Kalim is Tohar. Now, how about if somebody had been pouring water from one thing to another? So he was memale ba'asara delayim, and he's got this big, gigantic water storage container. And he fills up this container with a bucket from a well, and he pours each bucket into the well, and then Nimtza Sheretz Be'achad Mehem. He's about to pour the next bucket, and he takes a look in the bucket before he pours it, and he sees there's a dead Sheretz inside the bucket. Now, the question is, if this Sheretz was in the bucket the whole time, so then that would mean that everything that I poured into this large container is already going to be tumming. Now, if the Sheretz was in the well, that obviously is not Matami the water. I mean, that's what we're saying. He put the bucket in the well. It came up with the Sheretz at one point or another. Because water in a well is certainly not Makabel Tuma. It's only when it's not Ala Aretz and now it's in the bucket that it becomes Shayach to Kabbalah's Tuma. So my point over here is that I need to know whether the Sheretz had been in this bucket in the previous times that he poured it into the large container, or it only came into the Sheretz into the bucket at this point. So the din is, hu tamei, but kulam tori. So only where you find the Sheretz is the bucket full of water that is tamei. And as long as you haven't poured that into the remaining water in the large container, so then there's no problem. Because we're assuming that if the bucket had a Sheretz in it before, so then it would have already poured out when you sloshed the water out in the previous pourings. And it wouldn't have been therefore there's no even Stevens kind of Suffolk where we're going to determine it in terms of Suffolk Tuma, whether it's Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. It's quite clear that it only currently entered into the bucket. And remember, as we said before, on a couple of occasions, that the din of Suffolk to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yochid, is only where we can balance out the suffering. Sometimes we have to balance out Rov and Chazaka and rationality and so on. Okay, fine. But we do need to balance it out. In this case, it doesn't make sense to say that the Sheretz was there all along, because how come it didn't slosh out together with the water? Same thing would be true. Let's say you've got a small kli, and you're pouring water from one kli into the kli beneath it. So now, if you're pouring from one kli to another, ma'arami kli l'kli, and you find a Sheretz in, oh, by the way, there's an interesting point over here. Why not say that the Sheretz was in the well, since it had to come from somewhere, so we're assuming it was in the well, and then if the bucket had come into contact with the sherets in the well, so then that bucket would be tame, and it would have been metame the water anyway. Why do we care if the sherets is in the bucket at the time that the water was in the bucket? And the answer, my friends, is actually blowing in the wind, because this is tuma safa, right? It's a sherets that's floating on the water. Now you have a suffix whether the sherets floating on the water actually touch the bucket. That's for sure not a problem, because it's a classic case of tumat safa. So we only have to worry about the water that was in the bucket at the same time the sherets was. So in this case, if you find a sherets in the lower kli that you were pouring into, I don't know whether the sherets was actually originally in the bucket that I had used to pour into it, or I don't know, maybe there was a sherets that was in that kli. Look, it often happens you find something you're pouring what you thought was a clean glass, and you look in it and there's a bug in the glass. So maybe there was a sherets in the glass before. So in Okinami, in that case, the Elyon is Tahar, and the only place you have to worry about is the Mokum that it was Nimtza. Now this is actually a Gavi Klal, and it's called Ein Machzikin Tuma Mimakom Limakom. This relates to what we had earlier about the din of Kol HaTumot go after the way they are discovered. It's not precisely the same halacha, but there is a concept of not being Machzik from one Mokum to another, but we are Machzik from one time to another. So that would be the difference over here. Did the sherets, was the sherets there before? And there we could say, if this is where it is, then we can say this is where it was. But we don't say, if here is where it is, then it can also be there is where it was. Even though if the there is a different time, we do say there is where it was, you see? So in the same Mishnah, we have the comparison of the dimensional change, whether it's time, so we say time, yes, here to there, yes. Place, no. Here to there, we won't be Machzik.